Hello and welcome into this edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton here with you. I'm your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Hopefully, we'll have some absurdity to laugh at today. We are officially 30 days away from Christmas, just a few days away from Thanksgiving. And everybody's minds are shifting to the holidays. And I think that's a good thing. Hello and greetings. How you doing? Hopefully you're doing well. Hopefully you had a great weekend. You got to unplug and relax and cleanse your brain a little bit over the weekend. Sort of hit the reset button and enjoy a little time away from the insanity that is life in America today. But my task this morning is to reintroduce you to the insanity that is life in America today. Oh, so much stuff to talk about. I have, as is usually happening on this podcast, I have more stuff to talk about than I have time to talk about. Hopefully, there was an article I shared over the weekend entitled "Scientists Dishonest or Afraid." I hope I can get to that one because it's about climate change, and it's a very revealing article. But there's so much other stuff. The media is wrongly claiming that Trump is reversing decades of policy on Israel. That's important information. Chucky Schumer may have actually let slip the identity of a whistleblower on Twitter. We'll have to look at that. The leading House Democrat has revealed their next GOP target. We need to look at that. Devin Nunes is taking the false fake media to task. We'll be looking at that. Is Nancy Pelosi actually going to go through with impeachment after the hearings? Because, frankly, everything was disastrous. Well, that's in the news. We'll take a look at that. Adam Schiff, Shifty Schiff, has been up to his usual dishonesty, and we'll take a look at that very shortly. But first, before we do anything else, let's revisit a story that we beat to death last week, and that is Colin Kaepernick. God love him. This guy, Colin Kaepernick, is such a schmo. He's such a maroon. He's such an idiot. He's such a loser. He doesn't learn. He can't figure out when to just move along and get on with the process. You know, he just needs to move on with life. He's got his Nike gig. They're doing a shoe for him. He just needs to stop this business. He needs to learn that people aren't going to accept him as a quarterback in the NFL now. He's burned the bridges. A week after Colin Kaepernick worked out for 7 NFL teams at a high school outside of Atlanta, the former starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers has been contacted by 0 teams. That's what league sources are telling the ESPN. I almost said the ESPN, kind of like the iTunes. I either need more caffeine or less, one of the two. Not only has Kaepernick's highly publicized workout not resulted in any job leads from the 7 teams that attended the workout, but his representative sent film from the workout to the other 25 teams that didn't attend. That, too, bombed. No interest from anybody. ESPN says the fact that the NFL tried to spark interest in Kaepernick last week and could not, and that his reps made sure that video of the workout was delivered to every team, are just the latest signs that the chances are bleak that a team will step forward and sign him. Some sources speculated that there had been teams interested in making a move with Kaepernick. Kaepernick. Kook brains. And could in the weeks after his workout, but nothing has materialized and nothing is expected to at this time. After his workout, Kaepernick called out the NFL, claimed the league had denied him a job. You remember this? He said, "I've been ready for 3 years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why I came here. I showed it today in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, 32 teams, Roger Goodell, all of them to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people. Yeah, right. Yeah. Good for you, buddy. Nice try. Yeah, we'll give you a little appreciation for that. Thank you. The workout became controversial after Kaepernick and NFL representatives were unable to agree on terms of a liability waiver and Kaepernick's media availability. Because of the disagreement, Kaepernick canceled the workout, which the NFL originally organized, and instead held his own, severely limiting his exposure to potential suitors and shooting himself in the foot. That's my assessment. He just shot himself in the foot. Now, the report coming from ESPN, directly refutes claims made by Kaepernick attorney Mark Garagos, who said last week that two teams have showed interest in Kaepernick following the workout. Well, it's not happening. God love him, bless his heart, and all those other Southern terms that are polite for saying you're an idiot. The guy was an idiot. I mean, he was given an opportunity. The NFL, which quite honestly, considering how badly this guy has behaved, what a moron this guy has been. The NFL, as I said last week, I think this was all legal. They, as part of their settlement, gave him this workout. Said, okay, fine. We'll get everybody together for you. Come on. Because they were legally bound to as part of their settlement. And then he messed it up. He decided he knew better. He decided he wanted what he wanted. He didn't trust these people, yada, 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 and engage 12-gauge, blow foot off. That's exactly what happened. You never underestimate the stupidity of prima donnas. It's just crazy. Just crazy. And we can all hope that he'll disappear into the woodwork and we won't hear from him again. But we'll be disappointed because, just like every progressive activist, which is what he is now, he will stand by his position as wrong as he may be, and he will continue to fight for that position and get as much publicity as he will be able to drag up. The only hope we actually have is that people in the news media will look at him and say, no, I'm not wasting my time on you. I'm just not. That's our hope. And hopefully that is what will happen. Speaking of other people who can't seem to come to grips with the truth, there's Adam Schiff. He's the House Intelligence Committee Chairman. I have trouble reading that title in connection with this guy anyway. Adam Schiff was on CNN's State of the Union. This was yesterday morning. Yes, yesterday morning. To defend Democrats' impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump's dealings with Ukraine. Jake Tapper, the anchor of the show, pressed Schiff on whether there is sufficient public support for impeaching the president to justify moving forward with the case. Quote, I don't know if the American people, especially in the battleground states, back impeachment, says Jake Tapper. To this, Schiff responded, saying the public support for impeachment has grown fairly dramatically over the past 2 months. Oh, is it? Is that so? Schiff is basing his answer on technicalities that may be factually accurate. Yes, more Americans favor impeaching Trump now than they did a couple of months ago, but he is grossly exaggerating current public support for impeachment. An examination of recent polling demonstrates that his answer is highly misleading. Schiff is cherry-picking his initial point of comparison to generate a talking point that's favorable to the argument he's trying to make. But it falls apart under closer scrutiny. In September, Americans were hardly aware of any details regarding the Ukraine scandal. The story was just beginning to break. Logically, of course, public support for impeaching President Trump was lower then compared to current levels. According to 538's rolling average of impeachment polls, support for impeaching Trump was at 38% on September 24. Polls show that support for impeaching Trump climaxed on or around the middle of October, about October 14th. This was after weeks of overwhelmingly negative headlines and a few rebuttals by Republicans. Yet, even at their best, House Democrats could barely muster a majority of the country to back their efforts. With just 50.3% favoring impeachment and 43.8% opposed to it. Since then, as Americans have learned more about the Democrats' impeachment case, public opinion has trended decisively in Trump's favor. As Chris Enloe from The Blaze noted over the weekend, a new Emerson poll shows a 24-point swing against impeachment among independents when compared to their October study. Moreover, overall net support for impeachment is down to less than a point, with 46.3% of Americans supporting impeaching and 45.6% opposed. Tapper is correct. Schiff is wrong. 2 weeks after 2 weeks of public testimonies and 2 months of 96% negative media coverage of the administration, Americans are increasingly at odds with Schiff and the House Democrats on whether Trump should be impeached. The numbers don't lie, even when Schiff does. Now, those margins may seem fairly slim to you, but the point is, America is not in favor of impeaching their president. They weren't in favor of it when the Republicans impeached Clinton, and they aren't in favor of it when the Democrats are trying to railroad Donald Trump. It's just not a popular option. People don't want it to happen. They don't like it. And the more they see, because as the article here, but coming from The Blaze, by the way, as this article reveals, the more people saw about the case itself, the less they approved of them, of impeachment, because of several factors. The facts aren't with the Democrats. The Democrats are desperate. They're trying to use hearsay. And, you know, Susie told Johnny that Mary said this about Jolene. They're trying to use that kind of rationale to make their case. They don't have any hard evidence. In fact, everything that has been brought forth points the opposite direction. And all the Democrats have is spin. They're spinning this to make it appear the way they want it to appear. Because there's no there, there. Actually, one of their star witnesses, one that they said, actually the media said it was deadly to the Trump cause, said very clearly, "I want nothing." That's what Trump told him. "I want nothing. I just want the new president to do his job, to do what he ran on, which is to clean the swamp in Ukraine." He didn't want anything. In fact, there are those who said he got angry when asked about quid pro quo. The Democrats tried to change the terminology. They focus grouped. Did you know that actually happened? The Democrats actually ran focus groups. They tested terminology with groups of people to see which was more persuasive. They realized that quid pro quo was confusing, so they changed everything, all the terminology. You may have noticed it. Overnight, bing, quid pro quo disappeared from the vernacular and bribery appeared, because they realized that bribery was a term people could grasp. They actually focus grouped to see what was best. Why? Because they're out of touch with America. They're out of touch with the people. The people, you and I, us folks, see what's going on, and we don't like it. But the Democrats deny that. They're in complete and total denial of that. And they keep pushing. They keep pushing something their denial will not let them see the truth about. The people don't like what they see. The people didn't like what they saw with the Kavanaugh hearings, and the people didn't like what they saw with the impeachment hearings. What they saw was Democrats pushing a delusional case and denying reality every time they had a press conference. For example, when Adam Schiff, on that last day, walked out during the first break and held a mini press conference and declared that Ambassador Sondland's testimony was devastating to President Trump. And what everybody saw in that testimony was devastation for the Democrats. And then afterwards, Sondland was presented with that. And the Chiron, the lower third on CNN, said that he actually declared that Trump actually called for quid pro quo. And Sondland looked confused. No, I didn't. The Democrats have nothing, have had nothing, and will have nothing. And that may well be why the topic of the next story is in the news after the break here on the Daily Perspective Podcast. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. It's the Monday edition of the podcast, shaking off the dust from the weekend and diving into the week ahead. It's a short one. We've got a 3-day week. Most of us do. If you work Friday, well, sorry. Just as a heads up, a little housekeeping. No podcast on Thanksgiving Day or the day after. So this will be a 3-dayer for me. And what else is there? So don't expect podcasts on Thanksgiving Day or Friday. Also, a little housekeeping. I don't know if you noticed, but over the weekend, I posted some things to the social media accounts to get your attention. If you were a podcast subscriber, then beginning on Sunday, December 1st, you're going to start receiving an extra podcast, an extra piece, an extra program from the 1st through Christmas Eve, December 1st through Christmas Eve. I'm doing this little project because I've seen this suggested on social media a couple of times last year and this year. I've seen this suggestion, and I thought, you know, that's a pretty good idea for a family during the Christmas season to sit down and go through the Christmas story with the family so the kids understand and they know the Christmas story. And it's not all about it's not about Santa Claus and reindeer and elves and all that other stuff. That's all well and good, okay? That's good. That particular mythology is just fine. It's great. It's storytelling. Have a good time with it. You know, embrace your elf on the shelf. I don't care. But you need to give them the proper foundation for what the day is all about. And the suggestion was that you sit down with your family every day, either in the morning or in the evening or whenever is good for you and your kiddos, and to read one book from the one chapter from the book of Luke in the New Testament. Because Luke chapter 2 is where the Christmas story is found. You know, the one that Linus quotes on the Peanuts Christmas special? Yeah. That's where the Christmas story is found, in the book of Luke chapter 2. Well, there are 24 chapters in the book of Luke. So why not start December 1st with chapter 1 and work all the way through until the end on Christmas Eve? So that Christmas Eve, you finish the book of Luke, and you have told not just the Christmas story itself, but you've told the Christmas story and told the life story of Jesus and what he came for. So you understand the entire impact of his life. And I thought, you know, that's not a bad idea. So beginning December 1st, podcast subscribers, and you, if you would like to, you can subscribe to the podcast. Just to get this, if you want, that's fine. We'll receive an audio chapter of the book of Luke every day, December 1st through the 24th. And you can sit down and listen to it yourself. You can share it with your family. You can share it with your friends, because as you get it each day, you can just share that link. I'll make it available on dailyperspectivepodcast.com, and it will appear on the social media accounts on Facebook and Twitter as well. So every day, you'll have the link. You can copy and paste that link into text messages and send them to your friends. Hey, here's today's chapter of the story of Jesus. Merry Christmas. And that's the Christmas coming from the Daily Perspective podcast this year. That all starts coming up this coming Sunday, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, with chapter 1 of the book of Luke. And it goes all the way to chapter 24. So there you have it. Merry Christmas from the Daily Perspective Podcast. Moving forward, will she do it? Top Republicans and even some Democrats, according to the Daily Wire and members of the media, now believe the Democrats may pull back on officially impeaching the president, particularly as polls haven't borne out a clear advantage for Democratic candidates. After 2 weeks of impeachment hearings, which yielded little in the way of evidence that the president most definitely offered Ukraine a quid pro quo agreement, trading an increase in foreign aid for an investigation into corruption involving former Vice President Joe Biden and his son Hunter, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, the Democrat from California, is left with a choice. Call off the impeachment and look weak, or keep going and risk failure at the ballot box. Multiple polls taken last week reveal that the impeachment hearings are having their most marked effect on independents, who are supporting the impeachment in ever-declining numbers, leaving moderate Democrats at risk of losing their seats and Democratic presidential contenders at a loss going into 2020. The Hill reports yesterday that public opposition to impeachment has some Republicans voicing skepticism that Nancy Pelosi will go through with a vote on impeachment. Even President Donald Trump expressed skepticism. He told Fox News late last week he doesn't expect to face any true impeachment trial. He said, "I think it's very hard for them to impeach you when they have absolutely nothing." Pelosi hasn't guaranteed a vote, but not taking one will put her in hot water with progressives and activist voters who have been waiting since January 20th of 2017 to impeach Trump. She also runs the risk of handing Trump a major victory in his battles against a witch hunt right before he hits the campaign trail. But polls show voters aren't enthusiastic about impeachment, and a subsequent multi-state media push from Republicans ripping vulnerable Democrats for supporting Pelosi's crusade has those same moderate Democrats reportedly begging the Speaker to halt the process. Worse still, the media is now fretting that the impeachment hearings weren't the slam dunk Democrats are saying they were, and it will cost them support. The New York Times reports that the hearings lacked the damning evidence Democrats like Representative Adam Schiff promised, partly because the White House pushed back on Schiff's claims and released primary sources to refute Schiff's version of events, and partly because, the Times says, the hearings featured no witnesses with first-hand accounts of the president's malfeasance. Lawmakers haven't interviewed Rudy Giuliani, the president's lawyer, even though he emerged as a key figure in linking any supposed deal with Ukrainian legislators. They haven't interviewed Vice President Mike Pence or former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, both of whom were mentioned in testimony. They haven't interviewed former White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney or even former senior White House official John Bolton. They also haven't interviewed the whistleblower. The Times says, sadly, Democrats have opted for expeditious over comprehensive, electing to complete their investigation even without filling in major gaps in the story. That's because they can't fill those gaps in the story because there's nothing to fill them with. The Dems' strategy in clipping testimony is, of course, carefully crafted to prevent the White House from mounting any kind of defense and to keep Republicans from cross-examining important witnesses. If impeachment goes forward, the White House will be able to put on any witnesses they choose in a Senate trial. And that defense will be well-timed for the president, who will be on the campaign trail just as the trial is kicking off. And I would add to that, it would also require that all of those Democrat senators running for the presidency step off the campaign trail as the trial kicks off. For now, Democrats are staying the course, according to The Hill. They say the hearings were nearly flawless and extremely damning for the president. That's what one Democrat aide said. While no decision's been made to proceed with impeachment, the key facts are uncontested, and not proceeding at this stage will be called a total exoneration by the president. The key facts were repeatedly contested, by the way. Repeatedly. Repeatedly. The key facts were debunked. And to call them facts, a lot of hearsay. They had no facts. They had hearsay. They had people claiming to have overheard conversations between people who said certain things. Nancy told Mary, who told Mary Jane, who told Jolene, who told... I mean, it was just... It's like... as I've said before, it's like student council fights. These people are having arguments about stuff, and they're saying, well, yeah, well, so-and-so said that so-and-so told them that so-and-so told so-and-so that this happened to so-and-so. Yeah, right. And that's what the Democrats have been doing. That was their case. Oh, Mark, but the White House refused to send certain people. Of course they did. Because the Democrats had no right to do what they were doing. It wasn't a real investigation. It wasn't a true impeachment process. It was a dog and pony show. It was kangaroo court. It was a trial in search of a crime. It wasn't the real deal. And the White House was well within its legal rights to say, no, we're not going to play the game with you. When you get serious, we will, but we're not going to play the game with you. And here we are. Here we are. And there have been lots of falsehoods, lots of lies that were told on camera, off camera, behind closed doors, in public, to the media, on talk shows. Lots and lots of lies coming from the Democrats in hopes of torpedoing the presidency of Donald Trump. And one person who's been lied a lot about has decided to take some legal action. And we'll look at that after the break as the Daily Perspective continues. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. It's the Monday, November 25th edition, just a couple of days before Thanksgiving Day. Once again, a reminder, no podcasts on Thanksgiving Day or the day after. And no, I'm not going Black Friday shopping. Honestly, I never have. Never will. I'm one of those guys who I do all of my Christmas shopping sitting in front of my computer, every bit of it. All of it, 100%. The way I look at it, I'm paying for Amazon Prime. I'm going to get my money's worth out of it. It is a kind of a holiday week. A lot of people are, their brains are heading a different direction. A lot of people already have the Christmas tree up. For us, that'll happen this weekend. The edict has already been passed down from my wife that the Christmas tree will be going up this weekend. So it's going up this weekend and we'll come down, you know, 4 or 5 weeks later. Okay. I mean, for me, that means I got to move a lot of furniture and stuff, but whatever. It's going to happen. And the podcast is thinking Christmas as well, as I told you just a little while ago, excuse me. And we'll be putting out a chapter a day from the 1st through the 24th. So you and your kiddos and your loved ones and your friends can listen through the holiday season to the story about the man that the season is all about. It's not about the baby Jesus. It's about the man, the Son of God. That's what it's all about. Well, I mentioned something going into the break about legal actions, and there is legal activity on the forefront. House Intelligence Committee Ranking Member Devin Nunes of California, the Republican, announced Friday night he's filing a lawsuit against CNN over a report that they published the same evening that alleged an indicted associate of Rudy Giuliani was willing to testify to Congress that Nunes met with a former Ukrainian prosecutor last year to discuss digging up dirt on former vice president and current Democrat presidential candidate Joe Biden. Quote from CNN, the attorney, Joseph A. Bondi, represents Lev Parnas, the recently indicted Soviet-born American who worked with Giuliani to push claims of Democratic corruption in Ukraine. Bondi said that Parnas was told directly by the former Ukrainian official that he met last year in Vienna with Representative Devin Nunes. Mr. Parnas learned from former Ukrainian Prosecutor General Viktor Shokin that Nunes had met with Shokin in Vienna last December. He told CNN, Nunes had told Shokin of the urgent need to launch investigations into Burisma, Joe, and Hunter Biden, and any purported Ukrainian interference in the 2016 election. CNN claims that Bondi told them that Parnas and Nunes allegedly began communicating with each other around the same time of the Vienna trip, and that Parnas worked to put Nunes in contact with Ukrainian officials that could dig up dirt on Biden and Democrats in Ukraine. Nunes also plans to sue the Daily Beast for a story that it published earlier in the week that alleged that Parnas helped Nunes set up numerous meetings regarding Ukraine. In an exclusive statement provided to Breitbart News, Nunes said, "These demonstrably false and scandalous stories published by the Daily Beast and CNN are the perfect example of defamation and reckless disregard for the truth." Some political operative offered these fake stories to at least five different media outlets before finding someone irresponsible enough to publish them. "I look forward to prosecuting these cases, including the media outlets, as well as the sources of their fake stories, to the fullest extent of the law. I intend to hold the Daily Beast and CNN accountable for their actions. They will find themselves in court soon after Thanksgiving." CNN claims that they began to ask Nunes questions about his Vienna trip on November 14th, to which Nunes responded to CNN, quote, "I don't talk to you in this lifetime or the next lifetime at any time on any question." CNN asked Nunes about the trip again on Thursday, to which Nunes responded, "To be perfectly clear, I don't acknowledge any questions from you in this lifetime or the next lifetime. I don't acknowledge any questions from you ever." Nunes has long held a policy of not communicating with CNN, which can be evidenced from clips that have been online for a while. Nunes does have a legitimate reason not to answer CNN. The far-left network is notorious for making false claims about Republicans and publishing false stories that later have to be retracted. In late 2017, CNN published a story smearing then-Trump ally Anthony Scaramucci that alleged that Scaramucci was connected to a Russian investment fund that was supposedly under investigation by the U.S. Senate. Scaramucci took immediate legal action against CNN, and the network was forced to retract the report and had to fire three reporters over the incident. In August, CNN's Brian Stelter on his show Reliable Sources, by the way, the most inappropriately named show on CNN, I think, allowed a psychiatrist to falsely claim that President Donald Trump was, quote, "as destructive of person in this century as Hitler, Stalin, and Mao were in the last century. He may be responsible for more million deaths than they were." They actually let that go on the air. Stelter did not challenge the claim. After experiencing intense backlash, he gave an uncorroborated excuse for his action, or his inaction, to the blatantly false statement. CNN also lied about former Trump lawyer Michael Cohen's lawyer, Lanny Davis, being its source for a story which the central claim of which was that Cohen would testify that Trump knew in advance about the Trump Tower meeting with a Russian lawyer. That was also false. The Intercept reports, on July 27, 2018, CNN published a blockbuster story that Michael Cohen was prepared to tell Robert Mueller that President Trump knew in advance about the Trump Tower meeting. There were, however, two problems with this story. First, CNN got caught blatantly lying when its reporters claimed that, contacted by CNN, one of Cohen's attorneys, Lanny Davis, declined to comment. In fact, Davis was one of CNN's key sources, if not its only source, for this story. And second, numerous other outlets retracted the story after the source. Davis admitted it was a lie. CNN, however, to this date, has refused to do either. CNN has also posted false stories about James Comey's testimony, the spread of misinformation on Twitter, Republicans funding the anti-Trump dossier, how Trump fed koi fish in Japan, you remember that, Donald Trump Jr. getting advance notice of a dump of WikiLeaks emails, a sexual assault allegation against Brett Kavanaugh that was already retracted, repeatedly spreading false statistics about school shootings, and a host shared a fake story about an AR-15. That's just a short list, by the way. CNN is fake news. They're, to use the words journalistic integrity in association with the cable news network, is completely and totally inappropriate. So if you're getting your news and you're trusting CNN, please do a little homework and learn that CNN isn't interested in the truth. They're interested in the story. There's a big difference. The story has to be sensational. The story has to be attention-getting. The story has to hold interest for as long as possible. The story, the narrative, must be pushed forward at expense of everything else. Why? Because the story is what attracts attention. The story is what holds viewership. The story is necessary for the bottom line. Because without the story, you don't have viewership, and you can't sell advertising. So they're concerned about the story, because the story means money. They'd like you to believe that they have integrity and they're serving the noble cause of journalism, but when it all comes down to the bottom line, it's all about the bottom line. And that is what's happening with CNN. It's all about the money. And frankly, it's a good thing that Devin Nunes is going to sue the socks off of them. Well, over the weekend, speaking of Devin Nunes, House Armed Services Committee Chairman Representative Adam Smith, a Democrat from Washington, revealed, this was on Saturday, the next target of House Democrats, Republican Representative Devin Nunes of California, the ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee. When asked Saturday on MSNBC's AM Joy whether Nunes would face an ethics investigation, Smith said, quote, quite likely, without question. I understand a lot of this is about Joe Biden, but the bigger thing is about what President Trump and the Russians and all these people have been doing. It is a systematic problem that is a threat to the country because of what Russia is doing to democracy. That's what Smith went on to say, according to Politico. Central to the push to investigate Nunes are allegations that he secretly met with former Ukrainian Prosecutor General Viktor Shokin in Vienna last December to gather dirt damaging to Joe Biden. CNN reported the allegations Friday after the lawyer for Lev Parnas, a Rudy Giuliani associate who was indicted on unrelated federal charges last month, told the news outlet his client wants to tell House impeachment investigators what he knows. Nunes responded to the report Friday, as I've already told you, telling Breitbart News he plans swift legal action against CNN and The Daily Beast, which published a similar story earlier in the week for demonstrably false and scandalous stories that he called the perfect example of defamation and reckless disregard for the truth. Nunes says both news outlets will find themselves in court soon after Thanksgiving. Rudy Giuliani came to Nunes' defense Saturday, telling Fox News the California Republican did not meet with Shokin. Quote, I would have heard of it if he would have, Giuliani says. So Nunes is suing the socks off of CNN and some other folks. And the Democrats have revealed the latest card they're going to lay on the table. They're going to go after him. And of course, the reason the Democrats go after people like this is to damage their credibility, to paint negative imagery of them. That's why they're going after Trump. They're trying to prevent him from being reelected. Their odds of getting him impeached and removed are zero. But if they can stir up enough dirt and toss enough mud, their hope is that they will create enough doubt that he won't be reelected. Well, they're trying to damage the reputation of Mr. Nunes as well. But now we know how they operate. So, will it work? Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host. Glad to have you along for this short week. Yeah, it's going to be a short week. Thanksgiving holiday hitting us Thursday. Black Friday hitting us Friday. We'll get back to semi-normal again on Monday. Wrapping things up here in this final segment, just a few more minutes before we fly off into the distance. There's an article coming, actually from Sarah Palin's website, governorpalin.org. Since the start of the impeachment process, Democrats have kept the identity of the CIA operative who blew the whistle on President Trump and a phone conversation he had with the Ukrainian president under wraps. That is, until Friday evening. In a tweet, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer may have disclosed the identity in a tweet praising the testimony of a recent congressional witness. Quote, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman and whistleblowers like him are patriots, Schumer tweeted. They are standing up for the Constitution they swore an oath to defend. They don't deserve these great disgraceful attacks, and they must be protected from reprisals. Whistleblowers like him? Schumer appears to be implying that Vindman is some sort of whistleblower, and perhaps even one of the two whistleblowers reported to have emerged in light of a controversial call between United States President Donald Trump and Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky, by the way. Imagine the word controversial in quotes, because it's not controversial. With the amount of secrecy and anonymity surrounding the whistleblower, it's not surprising that people are under the impression that Vindman could possibly fit the bill. According to Republican Congressman Jim Jordan, Vindman, if not the whistleblower himself, certainly tipped off that anonymous person. Those three words stirred speculation online that Vindman is in fact the whistleblower at the center of the ongoing drama. In response on Twitter, people posted things like, did Chuckles just out the whistleblower? Whistleblowers like him? And another says, wouldn't Crying Chuck refer to Vindman and whistleblowers like him would he refer to him that way if Vindman wasn't the whistleblower? Someone else says, what do you mean like him? Another says, so Vindman is a whistleblower or a spy? Another says, I knew it. Thanks for outing him, Chucky. And finally, LOL, Schumer outed Vindman as a whistleblower. BizPak Review reports Jordan tried to seize on inconsistencies in Vindman's testimony about who he talked to regarding Trump's phone call, referring to Jim Jordan. Vindman answered in the public hearing that he did not tell anyone about it before the Ohio Republican pressed him to admit he previously told committee that he told three individuals at the National Security Council, his brother, and two attorneys. He also told another group, but only identified one individual in it. Quote, you said there was a group of other people you communicated with, but you'd only give us one individual in that group, Secretary Kent. When we ask you who else you communicated with, you would not tell us. How many other people are in that group you communicated with outside the four individuals I just named? House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff stopped Vindman from answering that question. And if you were paying attention, you saw that go by. So is it possible that Lieutenant Colonel Vindman is one of the whistleblowers? Could it be that that is why Adam Schiff said that they would be hearing from one of the whistleblowers, but he wasn't going to reveal who that was? Yes, that is one of those things that makes you go, And here's something else. Excuse me. We're seeing a lot of publicity coming from the negative left about Trump and Israel and reversing decades of policy. Well, in the aftermath, coming from Newsbusters, by the way, and I've encouraged you several times, make Newsbusters one of your sources for accuracy. Newsbusters.org. Newsbusters.org. The article by Brad Wilmouth. In the aftermath of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's announcement that the Donald Trump administration was essentially reversing the Barack Obama policy of declaring Israeli settlements as illegal, most of the dominant media have inaccurately claimed that Trump has reversed decades or 40 years of U.S. policy on the matter. In fact, it was Obama who diverged from his predecessors when then Secretary of State John Kerry voiced agreement with the Jimmy Carter administration on the matter in December 2016 while explaining the decision not to veto a U.N. Security Council vote against the settlements. Fox News channel carried Pompeo's press conference live last Monday afternoon about 2:30. The Daily Briefing host Dana Perino recalled for viewers, quote, "You've been watching Secretary of State Mike Pompeo at the State Department giving kind of a rare briefing. The news that he made that is a big deal is that the Trump administration decision that was made in December of 2016 about the settlements in Israel and the Secretary of State laying out how we're not prejudging anything, we're not commenting or expressing a view on the legality of the settlements, but we are reversing the Obama administration position at this time." By contrast, a few hours later, shortly before 7 p.m., on CNN's Situation Room, host Wolf Blitzer proclaimed, "Tonight, the Trump administration is reversing longstanding U.S. policy on Israeli settlements in the occupied West Bank. The Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, says the United States is now abandoning its decades-long position that objected to the settlements. The European Union strongly condemned the move by the Trump administration." Other shows on ABC, NBC, MSNBC, and PBS made similar misleading characterizations of the policy change. But as explained by Camara, it is more accurate to describe the move as returning the U.S. policy back to what it was for several decades, going back to the Ronald Reagan administration. In 1978, the Jimmy Carter administration State Department gave the opinion that the settlements violate international law. Remember, that was a Democrat administration. But other presidents from Reagan onward did not incorporate the opinion into their policy, taking a neutral position on whether the settlements are legal, until December 2016, when then-Secretary of State voiced agreement with the Carter administration policy a month before Obama left office. In a speech before the State Department, John Kerry declared, and this is 39 minutes into his speech, in case you'd like to go find it and wade into it. In 1978, he says, the State Department legal advisor advised the Congress of his conclusion that the Israeli government's program of establishing civilian settlements in the occupied territory is inconsistent with international law, and we see no change since then to affect that fundamental conclusion. It is true that part of Pompeo's announcement was that the State Department had handed down a new legal opinion that contradicts the 1978 view, but the 1978 opinion had not been adhered to by other presidents anyway. So it's more accurate to characterize the Trump move as returning to the policy of past decades, as was argued by State Department spokeswoman Morgan Ortegas, as she appeared on Monday's The Story with Martha McCallum on the Fox News channel. She explained, "Actually, what we said is we're taking back to a position that had been for decades, you know, but careful bipartisan approach. And what we're saying is that we're not actually declaring that the settlements are illegal or legal. Instead, we're getting it back to that neutral approach so that we can bring both parties and both sides together. It's important to remember that after Hillary Clinton lost election in the 11th hour of the Obama presidency, Secretary Kerry came out and reversed the position that we had toward Israel." Also of note, several shows related that right-wing politicians in Israel, like Prime Minister Netanyahu, were happy with the decision. But it was only mentioned by MSNBC host Ali Velshi that center-left Israeli Prime Minister candidate Benny Gantz also praised the Trump administration decision, although Velshi did not clarify that Gantz is left-leaning. And Pompeo himself even explicitly stated in his announcement that it was the Obama administration's policy change that was being reversed. So, what you've been seeing in the mainstream leftist press is that Donald Trump is taking a dangerous position on Israeli settlements, that he is reversing decades of accepted and approved and positively acknowledged positions. And it's not true. Not true at all. What he's done is reverse a disastrous decision by the Obama administration, an 11th hour position change, which can only be interpreted as a, all right, so you won, take this decision. Deal with this as you're coming into power. Congratulations. Have fun with it. Because that little hotbed of activity is a nightmare. And it's actually best for us to have a neutral position on it so that we can stand between these two parties and say, now, 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 let's do this with cool heads, okay? Far be it from the leftist press to tell us the truth, though. Hey, that's it for today. We'll see you tomorrow morning on the Tuesday edition. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.